Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the mound for the Red Sox, it'll be Quinn Priester, traded at the deadline last year for Nick York, now making his fourth start of the spring. He's been good, just two earned runs allowed in six innings of work. Swing and a miss, strike three, so Priester gets Leon for the second out of the inning. Two down.
Much better sequence there.
1-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. So after loading the bases, allowing in one on a rock, he gets out of it with just the one run. Cooper swing and a miss. He'll strike out to end the inning, but two more runs in. Leon swings and misses for the second time today. Priester will strike out Leon. Two down here in the third.
So I kept noticing, that's a strikeout, run given up. Oh, strikeout, two runs in. Does he ever get a strikeout without giving up any damn runs, Charlie?
Maybe he will for the Brewers.
Ay, ay, ay. Highlights courtesy of MLB. You got to be absolutely kidding me. So Quinn Priester, newest member of the Milwaukee Brewers. We talked about him with Matt Klein, Milwaukee Brewers assistant GM, back in the 2 o'clock hour. If you missed it, you'll always be able to go back, listen to it on your Odyssey app, AUDACY, or go back and simply listen to it at thefanmilwaukee.com. And don't forget, Bucks play tonight. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small frosty. No purchase necessary. This offer is only good for 24 hours after a win. So act fast and get that free small frosty at Wendy's. Continue to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers with our guy, Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. Mr. Wagner, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Steven.
All right, so let's start off with the Priester trade, because we have not talked since the Quinn Priester trade happened. Essentially trading 3-for-1 and getting Quinn Priester back. I had stated that if he's not a top three guy in this rotation, and they got 6 years of club control, but if he does not end up in the top three of this rotation during this run, and you give up three players, and I don't care what they end up being necessarily, what those three players end up being at the end of the day, I think that's how I judge this deal going forward. How would you judge it from your perspective of whether or not this ends up being a successful deal or not?
I remember, this was several years ago, the Brewers went out and made a big trade well before the deadline. They gave up their number one prospect, you know, this can't-miss prospect for this guy. Big, tall, really heavy starting pitcher. He had like initials for a first name, and pitched off his rear end. And the prospect, you know, one of the top prospects of all of baseball, was out of baseball after 3 years. So I don't read too much into what was given up to get Quinn Priester here. They need help in the starting rotation. They're going to need help with their AAA depth, even when these guys come back, because let's face it, guys are going to get hurt again. And let's be honest, they're going to need starting pitchers in the next coming years, because you're getting close to the end of the Freddie deal, and he's probably going to cash in someplace. You know, you're done with Savali after this year. You know, you've got Myers and Gasser and Hall, but you don't know what you have in those guys yet. So it's a move. It's a guy. If the Brewers are willing to give up basically 3-for-1, it means they saw something in the guy that they really like, and they believe that we're, with their pitching development apparatus, they can really excel with, and they made the move. I think there's been a lot of panic on Twitter. There's a lot of people freaking out because you see three players for a pitcher with not so great surface numbers, and it's the end of the world, but prospect is a Greek word for hasn't done crap yet. Yoffrey Rodriguez has a lot of potential. He's also 19 years old. It's a long way before he gets up there. There's a lot of guys in front of him. The draft pick, all right. You don't like to see a small market team give up a draft pick, but the Brewers also had six of the first 100 picks. So they had a little bit of leeway there, a little bit of a luxury to make that move.
The Sabathia trade that you referenced, we were at Summerfest doing our show when that happened, and everybody was huddled around the 1250 tent as we were all waiting to find out details of what was going on. Matt LaPorta, who you're right, everybody thought was going to be a stud. Zach Action Jackson, a pitcher. Rob Bryson, a pitcher. And the player that ended up playing for a long time and being fairly good was Michael Brantley. He was the player to be named later in that deal. So they gave up 4-for-1 knowing that it was a rental for Sabathia, knowing there was no way they were going to get him back. Now, they supposedly offered like $20 million a year, knowing that there was no way the Yankees were going to offer 20 or less, that it was going to be significantly more than that. So it was just a token offer. Here we tried.
In no way am I saying that Quinn Priester is CC Sabathia. I mean,
no, I know that. No. But my point is,
a lot of bratwurst.
Right. But my point is this, kind of helping the Brewers out for this debate, is Sabathia was a rental. This dude is 6 years of control by the Milwaukee Brewers. I think people are looking at it the wrong way from the aspect of they're looking at it like, oh, the Brewers panicked. They're trying to get help now. But realistically, this is about the future of this rotation. Freddy Peralta is not going to be here forever. He's going to be coming up, and then he's probably going to get a decent-sized deal somewhere else, and he's going to be on his way. And then after that, you're hoping Mizorowski learns control at some point, which to this point he hasn't. Logan Anderson had control last year. He's off to a little bit of a wild start this year, so you have him to build around. But the rest of this rotation outside of Tobias Myers is kind of a big question mark going forward. And if this guy can work out to be halfway decent, that's at least a future piece in this rotation, which right now is very questionable after the next couple of years.
Yep. It's a move that was made with long-term ideas in mind that possibly can provide immediate benefit, if that makes sense. So it's a little bit of the best of both worlds, for lack of a better way of putting it. And listen, I've said this before, and I know it sounds like towing the company line, but the Brewers pitching brain trust has earned more than a benefit of the doubt for me. If you're going after a kid who's 24 years old and may not have those great surface numbers, is there any reason to believe that Chris Hook and his staff aren't going to be able to turn this guy into something? I mean, look at Corbin, look at Woody, look at Freddie in that 2019 year those three had. Now, Woody was a little better than the other two, but young pitchers get knocked around. Very rarely does a guy come up like Skeens and just dominate and dominate and dominate. Those guys are few and far between. Pitchers get developed, and they take time to develop. You got 6 years with this guy. Who's to say what the Brewers are going to be able to do with him? He pitches the way the Brewers like, and I hate to give Bert any pub, but he wrote a great story today about the Brewers' pitching philosophy, and this guy kind of fits right into that mix, and they've had success with it right now. So it's a wait-and-see type thing.
He is Andrew Wagner, Forbes Brewers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter by Andrew Wagner. Joining us here for Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. You'll hear Wags coming up later tonight as well for the leadoff show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook with our guy Tommy Wirtz, 1 hour before every game. So he'll be on again tonight as they are in Colorado. So 6:30 it will be your program time here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan. We talk about this. When we talk about the starting rotation, Klein said that they believe that Priester is going to start in this Colorado series, and I simply said, "So you don't like him then? Because why in the world would you start somebody for their first start in a new uniform in Colorado?" Because again, if he gets shelled, then this fan base is going to lose their minds and go absolutely crazy over one star, which is what they're going to do regardless of where it's at. I understand that. If he pitches,
I think that's probably the best case scenario, though. If the guy goes out and gets shelled, you can say, chill out. It's just Colorado.
That's true.
It kind of takes a little pressure off a guy like, hey, listen, we're putting you out here. We know it's Colorado. We know crazy things are going to happen. Just pitch. You might get knocked around, but you're not going anywhere. And I mean, fans need to realize that, too. Like, he's not going anywhere. Like, help is on the way, but it's not here yet. So, ride or die.
And to that point, I asked Matt Klein, so are we feeling good about saying later this month we get back Myers and Cortez? And he wouldn't commit to that. And then I said, we feel better about saying Woodruff back in May. Wouldn't commit to that either. So that was two questions. I was hoping for yeses on both. I got yeses on neither at this point. But let's talk about Chad Patrick, who's pitched really well here through two starts. Won the Triple Crown for pitching essentially last year in the International League at Triple A. Is there a world where he gets to stay in this rotation if he pitches well enough, waiting for these other guys to get back? Or is he destined to go back down regardless of how well he does?
I mean, if he keeps pitching like this, why wouldn't he continue? I mean, the Brewers aren't going to – listen, as long as you're performing, you're on the roster. Now, there could be – if they start to get a bunch of dudes back and they're all pitching well, just because he's got options remaining, he could be the odd man out at some point. But as long as he's dealing, he's going to keep taking the ball every fifth day. He's going to keep taking the ball until – he's given them a reason not to give it to him. I really think that's how it's going to go. We saw that. We saw it last year with Tobias Myers. He kind of came up in the same situation. You know, he wasn't anywhere nearly as accomplished as Chad Patrick was. I mean, well, let's face it. He was flat out horrible in the minor leagues when the Brewers picked him up. He got a little bit better, and he found his way starting because they had no other options. He didn't start nearly as great as Chad Patrick did, but he ended up pitching himself into a role. The need was a little different last season. But I just don't see a world where, you know, Chad Patrick keeps dealing and they decide to send him down.
Caleb Durbin off to a hot start down in Nashville. Has a couple of home runs, a couple of doubles already, and a stolen base. So, and he's playing third base down there for the record, too, down in Nashville. How much of a leash do you think they give Dunn? What's the kid's name?
Babe Capra.
Forgot who he was.
Babe Capra.
Yeah, Babe Capra. How much of a leash do you think they give those two guys before they turn it over to Caleb Durbin to come up?
I don't think Babe Capra is going anywhere for a while. I mean, he's out of options for one thing. They like his defense a great deal. They like Dunn's defense a great deal, but Dunn can be moved. Dunn's got options. So, you know, if Durbin keeps performing, and the sample size is small, but he needed this. He did not have a good spring training. He did not look good in spring training. And I think part of the reason for sending him down there, you know, they thought that he'd perform well. Like, they have no doubts on this is a guy that they want on the big league roster. I think part of the reason they sent him down was get the taste of spring training out of your mouth, go down there for a couple weeks, maybe a month, get your confidence back, play the game that they know he can play. And when the time comes, he's going to get the call. I mean, I don't see a world, just like I don't see Chad Patrick getting sent down, I don't see a scenario where Caleb Durbin spends his entire year in the minor leagues. Now, that said, if he does get a chance up here, he's got to perform. You know, that's what it comes down to. It's all about performance. I mean, this team needs people to perform. They're going to give, they'll give Dunn a little bit longer of a leash because it is still early. I mean, it feels like we're at this for 3 months because of everything that's happened. But we're only 10 games into the season, 9 games into the season, whatever it is. So there's a little bit of a leash yet before they start making moves there.
And it's Brewers and Rockies tonight. Freddie Peralta against Kyle Freeland going into this one. Both these guys with just a little over 2 ERAs heading in. Freddie Peralta last year got off to a great start too, and then came crashing back down to earth. I believe it was 4 starts, which Charlie and I looked back at it. Any reason to believe that this is something we can buy into going forward for an entire season yet?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say with pitchers. I mean, he could go out today in Colorado and get shelled, and then are you going to say it's Freddie reverting back to Freddie, or are you going to say it's Colorado?
You're going to say so it's Colorado, like, so I'll ride with you on this Colorado.
Yeah, so it's like it's hard to say. I do think Freddie is. It's hard to say because he's been such an enigma in the past. He looks really good, or he looks really average. I mean, he never really goes out there and looks really bad. But it's what we haven't seen from him, and I guess this is what is encouraging, is the walks are non-existent. He's not getting himself into trouble with the pitch count. He's not getting himself into trouble with traffic. He's being efficient and effective. So I think that's the reason for encouragement. Because even last year when he was doing well, the knock was still he's walking too many guys. He's throwing too many pitches. He's not working very deep in games. Now, again, he's only made two starts. One was 5, one was 8. Great. But if he can go out there and keep being efficient and keep the walks down and keep his pitch count down, then I think you have reason for saying, okay, I think he's turned a corner.
There he is, Andrew Wagner. Catch him on this very show Tuesdays and Fridays at 3:20. Catch him, of course, on the Mason Crosby Show on Mondays and Thursdays at 10 a.m. And, of course, catch him all the time on the Leadoff Show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, including coming up tonight. He'll be joining Tommy Wirtz for that show at 6:30, taking you up
to the first pitch. I'm everywhere, baby. I'm everywhere.
You are everywhere. Absolutely, indeed. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. And how does it feel to be older? Last time we talked, it was your birthday. How did that all work out?
Well, I just put on Twitter before that since my birthday, my social media feeds have basically changed. And now there's like a recurring theme that basically everything the algorithms suggest for me are like, music related, makes sense.
Yeah.
Or it assumes that I'm some alcoholic stoner with erectile dysfunction, subpar remodeling skills, and a penchant for fart jokes. So I guess
so it's got it mostly right then, possibly. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
it really
good.
Does.
Yeah, it really
middle
does.
Middle age is great. I'm loving it.
See, I'm telling you, those algorithms, they got you pinned. And Mr. Wagner, thank you so much.
See ya.